Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What just happened?
There's been another murder.
Found her last night.
This one of your missing persons?
That could be. She's late teens, maybe early 20s.
She's not missing anymore.
What do you make of this?
Ever try to saw a bone with a flat blade? Say someone tried to remove her head.
Any connection to the Jane Doe? When are you going to admit there's somebody taking these girls?
It's not a first time. He's done it before. He'll do it again.
Get these off.
8 girls in the last 2 years. There's not one lead except her. Cindy Paulson. She got away.
Why don't you just start at the beginning?
He brought me to his place. He called it his den. It was more of a dungeon.
Why isn't this guy on our list?
Oh, hey, Bobby.
Hey, Al, good morning.
Hansen's an upstanding citizen.
I have testimony from a witness who...
She's a prostitute that refused a polygraph. It's a dead end.
She's not your problem. She's not our kid.
Well, she's someone's. We're looking for a white male, early 40s, history of sexual assault, and avid hunter. That's Hansen.
I need physical evidence.
We're reopening the case. This guy did it, and they let him get away with it.
Oh, my God.
He's gonna dump it all.
Did you panic when you killed them?
Yeah.
You had their blood all over your hands.
I didn't do that.
I need more.
Or he's gonna walk.
I'm gonna see if you have the guts to be honest.
You think you can threaten me?
Mom,
you don't have any idea who I am.
I promise nothing's going to happen to you.
Look, he's gonna take me. Help me, please.
Have you seen her?
Have you seen this girl?
He won't stop, and we know who he is.
Drop the gun!
Have you ever seen anybody do anything like this before?
Hi! Welcome to Horror vs. Reality. I'm your host, as always, Anastasia. Morgan is with me as per usual, that I always say that also. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, Anna. We need a new intro.
Yeah. Guys, tell me something to say at the beginning. I don't know. Write in.
Yeah, write in.
I'll say it within reason. Let's not get offensive here. I'll say whatever. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Just give us some suggestions.
Yeah. Morgan and Anna here.
Hi.
Reporting in, as usual.
We're live right now with just us two, and it's not live at all.
Well, us talking right now is live, but when you're listening to it, no, obviously.
No. Not live.
Yes. Anyway, I'm recording in the kitchen of the house that I'm house sitting at. So there are slightly better acoustics and definitely less noise than my home.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear, Morgan. All right, so today's episode is The Frozen Ground from 2013 versus Robert Hansen. That's right, we are back to another serial killer. We can't get enough of them. Really, they lend themselves to movies a little more than one murder does, kind of, so they're gonna happen. Serial killers are gonna happen.
Yeah, always.
Always.
Unfortunately.
So, Morgan, you like this movie, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did not rewatch it.
No, I sort of did. I kind of fell asleep, but we've both seen it multiple times before, so. You're in safe hands, okay?
Yeah.
Yes. So this was directed by Scott Walker. This was actually his first film, I think, actually.
Really?
His first film? Yes. It's the first movie that he directed.
Wow, with like big names like that?
Yeah. I mean, if you've been doing other work and then you get hired on by a studio, then the studio is what pulls the names, not the director.
I see.
Yeah. So he's like only done a couple of other things. Like he directed something called The Tank, which...
Oh my God, that's my favorite movie.
I don't even think it's come out yet, to be honest. I'm just kidding. I mean, I know. And then just like a short film called Ordan's Forest in 2005. So like he hasn't done a lot.
No.
Yeah. He's not done all that much. Yeah. So he's super interesting. There you go. Director Scott Walker, everybody. So, but let's, you know, there's some big names to touch on, namely Nicolas Cage. Let's talk about Nicolas Cage. I don't really think like I need to super explain in detail Nick Cage, the man, the myth, the legend. But we're going to go into it, you know, a little bit for journalistic integrity. Yeah. So, yeah, he's an American actor who's part of the Coppola family of actors, which includes, like, the director Francis Ford Coppola, director Sofia Coppola, and Talia Shriver? Shriver? Steiner?
Yeah.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Talia Shriver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
She's Adrian in Rocky. Ayo, yeah. Adrian! Yeah, so that's his aunt, Nick Cage's aunt.
Oh.
Yeah.
I knew he came from, like, a really famous family. I don't...
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman. Tons of people. Yeah, Jason Schwartzman is his cousin.
Yeah, they're... But it's all fucking... They're all related.
Yeah, well... That family is.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's lots of acting families in Hollywood. That's no secret. But yeah, Nick Cage has had a career that's spanned like 40 years at this point. From movies like, you know, Raising Arizona. And he's not, he's done indie films. He's done mainstream films. He's done terrible, shameless cash grab films. He's done Academy Award nominated films and cult films. The man is not afraid to do bad movies to dig himself out of debt. And I respect him for that. But Amy, he's also actually a good actor. You know, he has starred in some comic. Did he star in the comically bad remake of The Wicker Man? Yes, he did. But he also had an absolutely wicked acid trip of a chainsaw fight in Mandy. So, you know, there's good. You take the good, you take the bad. There you have the facts of life. But yeah, you know, you just kind of have to figure out what kind of Nick Cage is right for you and then watch those films. There's a Nick Cage performance for you. Maybe you like comedy, like absurdist comedy. So maybe you want to watch the Coen Brothers Raising Arizona. Maybe you like huge action blockbusters. So you should go watch Con Air or National Treasure. You know, maybe you're a horror buff and you like Mandy or Mom and Dad or The Color Out of Space, which is a bunch of stuff he's done recently. I'm a big fan of that side of Nick Cage.
Yeah, or you could do what Andrew and I do. We have a date night where we pick out a Nicolas Cage movie and we call it Raging Cajun. So we cook Cajun food and watch a Nicolas Cage movie.
I love that you two do that.
It's so ridiculous.
That's adorable. And I might start doing that to Mark without him knowing that that's what's happening.
Raging Cajun night. Just well, like Curry night with Tim Curry movies and eating.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I cook Cajun a lot because of where we grew up. So like that's just Cajun food is just a part of the rotation for us.
Yeah.
So that happens like we have red beans and rice like several times a month.
We're making it tonight.
Nice. Yeah. Love red beans and rice. Also dirty rice, all that gumbo, all of it.
Fuck yeah.
Fucking love Cajun food. Yeah, so we eat Cajun a lot, so... And I watch I watch movies all the time, too. So, I mean, I could literally just throw on a random Nick Cage flick and cook what Cajun like usual, and he would be none the wiser.
Yeah, and Raging Cajun. Last time we made shrimp, I think, yeah, it was shrimp etouffee, and we watched Face Off.
Oh, my God. Like, did you... Okay, you know that part of Face Off where they, like, touch the whole face to, like, know it's the right person?
Yeah. It's so ridiculous.
Mark Mark and I sometimes like do that to each other. Like, oh, it's you.
Oh, it's you. I like when they take the bandages off and you're like, what's going to happen? Is he going to look like a freak in nature? And it's like, no, they just same.
No, he just looks like John Travolta now. That's, yeah. That's all it is.
So ridiculous.
That movie is absolutely ridiculous. But also, don't sleep on his foodie drama Pig, because he fucking shines like a diamond in that film.
That is a good.
Did you actually watch it?
Yeah. Now? I think you sent it to me, didn't you?
I did. I sent you a copy of it.
Yeah. Yeah, we watched it. Really liked it.
Good. See, it's great. It's really good. It's an understated performance in the best way. All right, so let's dive in to John Cusack, because I could talk about Nick Cage all day. You know, like I could talk about the fact that he used to be married to Elvis's daughter just because he was a huge Elvis fan. More
yeah,
than-
no, that's so weird.
Yeah. Or, yeah, you know, or the fact that we all forgot that he used to be married to Patricia Arquette.
Yeah, I did. I completely forgot about that.
Me too, because the Lisa Marie Presley and then the series of Asian women that he's married really overshadows it.
Yeah. Wasn't the last one he married like 18 or something? 19?
I don't know how old she is, but I know that they just got married last year.
And they got it annulled, I think. He was drunk, right?
No, that was the one before the current one.
Oh my God.
He got married and had it annulled in 2019, and then he married a different person in 2021.
Oh my God. We love to marry everybody you sleep with.
We love you, Nick. He didn't marry everyone that he slept with, though, because he didn't marry the mother of his first child.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, like I said, we could do a whole episode of Nick Cage. So we're not
should.
A bonus episode just on Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Maybe we will. Dun-dun-dun. What would the crime be? Just some of his bad movies. No, we love you, Nick. But anyway, we're going to talk about John Cusack now.
Yes.
Who plays Reverend Hansen in this film.
Now, sorry, I'm a sucker for him.
I love Cusack, too. I mean, he's one of those guys who's also had a storied and kind of interesting career. He doesn't get ragged on as much as Nick Cage does, because he's not an over-the-top actor the way Nick Cage can be sometimes. But they've had kind of similar like career trajectories, I feel like. You know, they both got started in the 80s. Like, Cusack made a name for himself in Hollywood in the 80s with a bunch of coming-of-age films like 16 Candles and Say Anything, which is, you know, the iconic film where he stands outside his girlfriend's house holding the boombox playing Phil Collins. Yeah. In your eyes. Anyway. Maybe that's not Phil Collins. It's Peter Gabriel. It's Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel.
It's the other guy from Genesis. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, they sound pretty much similar. Sorry.
They do.
Fans out there, but they sound the same.
They sound similar. I'm sorry. Look, I know that Phil's a better drummer. I have heard the Tarzan soundtrack, okay? Yes. But I kid, because I obviously know he had a long career before that. But yeah, so then in the 90s, John Cusack started doing kind of a lot of indie stuff, like being John Malkovich, True Colors. And then he had this period in the early 2000s where he was just in a string of rom-coms, like High Fidelity, which is actually an excellent adaptation of the Nick Hornby novel.
Then I fucking love that movie, and hands down, best soundtrack. Best
yes! Soundtrack. High Fidelity is a movie for music lovers. You don't have to like rom-coms to love this movie. It's a movie for every music snob out there.
It really is.
It is. It's a great film. Although it wasn't quite as magical as the movie, the TV show that starred Zoe Kravitz was not bad.
I never saw that.
It aired and died on Hulu in 2020. I think the year kind of maybe played a role in its demise. I'm not sure. But yeah, so it was basically just like a similar storyline to the movie, but Zoe Kravitz was basically playing the role John Cusack played.
That is crazy. Because her
mom's in
it.
The movie. Yeah, I know.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's fun. It was fun. You should give it a go. I mean, it's only one season, but it's got its own feel, and it's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah. Anyway, but then he was also in movies like America's Sweethearts and Must Love Dogs. And basically this series of roles, he just was super sick of. He's like, I'm not even a great romantic lead. Like, I don't feel like I fit these roles and I would like to be taken more seriously, kind of. So he started doing a lot of darker roles, such as this film. He actually played a serial killer in another movie right after this, The Paperboy, with Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman.
Oh. Paperboy.
He's also...
Sorry.
God damn it, Morgan.
I can't not. You can't not do it.
It's true. It's true. But no, he's also in this film with Elijah Wood called Grand Piano, where he's like trying to kill Elijah Wood. So yeah, he's really embraced the role of a villain at this point, and I think he makes a good villain. He's not the most...
Oh my God. Sorry. I just looked up Grand Piano. I like the description. Can I read it?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. On the IMDb, it says, a pianist with stage fright endures a performance under the eyes of a mysterious sniper who will shoot and kill him if a wrong note is played. And like the face that Elijah Wood has is like, oh fuck, I can't fuck up. It sounds ridiculous.
It's actually really good, though.
It is?
It's actually good, yeah. I like it a lot.
He's like, I'm going to kill you if you hit the wrong note. I would immediately hit the wrong note.
There's a very specific reason for that, which I will not give away.
Okay, so no spoilers for that.
No spoilers. Go watch it, guys. Okay. It's probably playing free somewhere. It's not like a well-known movie, but it's good.
Nice.
Yeah. You know I'm a sucker for Elijah Wood. I'll watch whatever he does.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's super cool. And he's a horror movie lover like us. So, like, we love him. But yeah, okay, so Vanessa Hudgens as Cindy Paulson. Hudgens is best known for playing Gabriella in the Disney Channel High School Musical trilogy. I have never seen any of these films.
Me either.
Fucking high five, my dude. Here's the thing. Have people our age watched these movies? I'm sure they have. But by and large, we were way too old for that when it came out.
Yeah, we're old for like everything she's really done.
That's not true. She was in 13 when we were like 13.
Hold on, she was in 13?
It's not a big role, but she's in 13. It was
her first. She was 13.
It was her first major film role.
Okay. She must have been a tiny little baby.
She's older than you. She's my age.
Oh, what the fuck? I always thought she was like 12.
No.
Just forever 12.
I am
older than me.
I am like 19 days older than her.
Shit. Yeah. I always thought she was really young. She looks good.
She looks good for our age.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, she, like a lot of former Disney Channel stars, she's worked pretty hard to kind of shed the Disney image with roles like Candy in Harmony Korine's Spring Breakers or Sariza in Machete Kills. In her personal life, she happens to be a member of that Christian megachurch Hillsong that is totally not a cult. Wait. I think there's a documentary about it. Google it.
She's looking great.
Yeah, yeah. All right. 50 Cent as Pimp Clay Johnson. Yeah, that's right. If you've watched this movie, you were like, the rapper 50 Cent? Yes, that's who it is. 50 Cent actually is one of the producers on this film. He helped produce it, so, you know, whatever. He was invested. But he's best known for his rap career. Eminem discovered him in the early 2000s, and he rose to fame with songs like Into Club and Candy Shop. But yeah, so he also acts and produces, among other things. So yeah, this is one of those movies that he acted in and helped produce.
Yeah, how many times was he shot?
Oh, like 20-something, right?
Yeah, I just remember he was like, I've been shot 20 times. I don't know.
Well, he was dealing drugs as young as 12 when he, like, during the crack epidemic in the 80s, so.
Yeah, because that's why he talks. He got shot in his mouth. mouth, and that's why
he talks the way he does. Yeah.
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 Nine times. That's it. That's nine. The song.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was exaggerating the legend, but yeah, he's been shot a few times. He was a drug dealer, so he knows that thug life for reals.
Yeah. For real.
I sounded so white saying that. I did that on purpose, but yeah. All right. So Radha Mitchell as Ally Holcomb. Mitchell is an Australian actress whose career took off after she landed a role on the Australian soap Neighbours, like many an Aussie before her. I couldn't help it. In the early 2000s, she began appearing in Hollywood films such as Phone Booth with Colin Farrell and the 2006 adaptation of the video game Silent Hill. She was also in the 2010 remake of the horror film The Crazies that was originally done by Romero. It's technically not a zombie film. I guess it's kind of the first rage virus film, actually. The original, The Crazies, was. Because that's what happens. They turn into murderous killers in droves. Spoiler alert.
I figured it was like some Korean movie that did it first.
No, Romero in the 70s, I feel like. Yeah. All right. So Dean Norris as Sergeant Lyle Haugsman. Norris is known for playing law enforcement roles and other authority figures, most notably DEA agent Hank Schrader on AMC's Breaking Bad, a role which he reprised for the Breaking Bad prequel, Better Call Saul. Then we have Jodie Lynn O'Keefe as Shell Ringel. Did it have to rhyme like that? I guess. O'Keefe is an actress, model, and fashion designer. She's perhaps best known for playing Gretchen Morgan on Prison Break, as well as Cassidy Bridges on Nash Bridges, and Jo Laughlin on The Vampire Diaries. Some of her film roles include the travesty that was Halloween H2O and the cult teen classic She's All That. Now, Brad William Hinkey as Carl Galinsky. Hinkey is a former NFL and Arena Football League player, as well as an actor. He's best known for his role as prison guard Desi Piscatella on Orange is the New Black. Some other notable roles include Tony Tucci on Dexter, Coover Bennett on Justified, Hap Lassner on Grimm, and Tom Cullen in the 2020 adaptation of Stephen King's The Stand. I do not recommend that. Read the book. It's better.
Yeah. He was on Stinky Pete. I mean, Sneaky Pete. I always call it Stinky Pete.
Which Stinky Pete is the name of a model of a vibrator on Bob's Burgers.
That's
like,
great.
Yeah, there's an I'm having deja vu. I feel like I've talked about this before. But yeah, Linda Belcher, there's an episode where Linda gets roped in by her friend Gretchen to do an adult party where you sell sex toys. Morgan and I have been to one of those together before. She goes to sell that, and she didn't know that when she got roped into doing it, really. So she, like, has her kids in there with her at first, then she, like, sends them into another room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then Gretchen convinces her to help sell the products, and one of them is literally, like, this bear-shaped dildo. It looks like a teddy bear. And it's called Stinky Pete.
Stinky Pete, and it's shaped like a bear.
Yeah.
I want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's shaped like the honey bear, kind of.
Oh my God, that is so great. That's so wrong, but so good.
Yeah, it's a wholesome family comedy. It is, though.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. All right. So let's dig into the movie, Mo.
Nice.
All right. Yep. So the scene, the setting, Anchorage, Alaska, 1983.
So cool.
Yes. It's a motel room, and 17-year-old Cindy Paulson is handcuffed and screaming for her life. And then a patrol officer busts in and gets the cuffs off her wrists because she has, like, cut her wrists up pretty bad trying to get out of them. And, you know, so get me out of these things! So he gets her out and he rescues her, takes her to the hospital, and they do a rape kit. And at an APD station, she explains to the detectives that she was kidnapped and raped. But because she's a sex worker who is lying about her age, the detectives choose to not believe her story. They refuse to believe that her abductor, Robert Hansen, could do that because he's, as they claim, an upstanding member of the community and a family man who owns his own bakery in town and also has an alibi for the incident in question. So the patrol officer who rescued Paulson is outraged that the detectives refuse to pursue Hansen, and he goes behind their back and photocopies information about the case and sends it to the Alaska State Troopers. So, State Trooper Jack Holcomb, which is Nick Cage, been called to investigate a female body that was found in the bush, half-eaten by bears. What a grim way to go. The police connect the case to some other missing girls in the area who have disappeared on the same legitimate photo shoots front. So with information from the APD officer, Holcomb connects the other cases to Paulson's and begins constructing a profile of Hansen. Now, Paulson details how Hansen kept her captive and that she escaped from his car when he tried to transfer her to his bush plane. Meanwhile, over in Anchorage, Debbie Peters gets into an RV with a man, an unseen man, for a photo shoot, just like all the other victims. And later we see Hansen eating a quiet dinner at home. His wife and children are out of town, and Hansen relaxes in his trophy room, casually ignoring Debbie, who he has chained to a post nearby. She has pissed herself, and he goes to, like, clean it up, and then a neighbor comes in to deliver him, like, a plate of food, so he goes to distract the neighbor, and he warns her to not scream or he'll kill her. So that's fun. Hansen takes Peters to the airport, where he orders her into his plane, and after landing in a remote spot in the bush, he lets her go. Most Dangerous Game style, she's running for her life before he shoots her with a .223 caliber rifle, and he steals her necklace off her body and stands over her before he shoots her with a handgun to finish her off. Ugh. Yeah, it's pretty despicable. So Holcomb has a very difficult time building this case against Hansen because, you know, in Alaska, they're very, especially like up in this town, it's a lot of people who are running from things. So everybody kind of covers for other people and it's really close-knit and they don't want to talk to law enforcement. So it's a big deal. And the evidence is circumstantial. Paulson's kind of afraid to testify and the district attorney just absolutely refuses to issue a search warrant. Paulson keeps falling back into her life of sex work and stripping, and despite Holcomb's efforts to keep her safe, you know, she just keeps kind of falling back into it. It's what she knows, and she's a runaway. So she's at a strip club where she's trying to sell lap dances, and then she looks over and she fucking sees Hansen, and he's like trolling for a new victim, perusing the club. And their eyes meet, and he sort of like chases after her, and she just like narrowly escapes. And it makes Bob Hansen pretty nervous, and he gets, like, even more paranoid. So he hires Carl Galinsky to find and kill Paulson for him. Because at this point, killing her is not about satisfaction. Killing her is about keeping her quiet, because he knows that she escaped and that she could tell, especially now that she's seen him. So Carl approaches Paulson's pimp, 50 Cent, Clate Johnson, and offers to forgive his sizable debt that he has to him if Clate turns Paulson over to him. So, back over Helcom, he is staking out Hansen's house, which freaks Hansen out, and Hansen gathers the evidence of his crimes, including the trophies, from his victims, and flees with his son to the airport, and despite dangerous flying conditions, he flies out to go hide his trophies. Now, feeling the chance to catch Hansen is just like slipping through his hands, and with the victim count now at like 17, Holcomb forces the DA to issue a warrant. Unfortunately, the search of his house yields literally no evidence. So Hansen agrees to be interrogated without a lawyer, but unless the police find new evidence, they will be unable to hold him, obviously. Holcomb orders a second search of Hansen's house, which this time turns up a hidden cache of guns, including the .223 caliber rifle used in many of the murders. Under police watch and at a safe location, Paulson fucking slips out to do sex work again.
Come on, Vanessa Hudgens.
I know. So Clate delivers her to Carl and attempts to rob Carl, which him attempting to rob Carl completely saves her because she takes the opportunity to fucking bail while this is happening. And Carl chases after her, but she manages to make a call to Holcomb and is rescued in the fucking lickety split of time. Holcomb uses a bracelet that looks identical to one the victims used to have to trick Hansen into thinking that the police have found the evidence. He's hidden in the bush. And that, with seeing Paulson in the interrogation room, basically forces him to the point of self-incrimination. And then the epilogue states that Hansen confessed to the murders of 17 women and the kidnappings and rapes of another 30. He was charged with the abduction and rape of Cindy Paulson and the murders of Joanna Messina, Sherry Morrow, Paula Goulding, and Eklutna Annie, because they didn't know her real name, so they gave her an authentic Alaskan one, and God, it's the worst name ever. Like, she was already a victim. Come on.
It's because of the lake they found her on.
I know.
Eklutna Lake.
I know, but it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's the worst name ever.
Yeah, there's been some really bad victims' names.
Like, can't we just stick to Jane Doe number whatever? I don't know. Is that more insensitive? My bad. He was sentenced to 461 years plus life without parole. And he died in 2014. And then the film ends with a dedication to Hansen's victims with like a slideshow of their pictures. All right, so we're going to get into some fun facts now.
Woo, fun facts.
Woo, fun facts, yeah. Okay. So this movie was actually shot in Anchorage, Alaska. And not only was it really shot in Alaska, but the director waited until a certain part of fall to where there would be no snow on the ground. But by the time the end of the shoot was to shoot, it would be snowing. So he made sure that as the plot got darker and colder, so did the atmosphere, essentially.
Yeah, I was on that strip. I've been to Anchorage, Alaska, and I stayed at a hotel right down the street from where that fake club was.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it was the Days Inn. You can see it in some of the pictures of the shoot. You can see it from that street.
Wow. You know my ex lives there now.
Skankridge?
Yeah.
That's what everybody calls it, Skankridge. Sorry for people who live in Anchorage and like it, but a lot of people call it Skankridge because it's kind of dirty.
I mean, you get that feeling when you see the film, honestly.
Yeah.
It feels dirty.
It is pretty dirty.
Dirty all over, Bob.
It's fun.
So, a lot of the actors. So, when they're filming, because it's really cold there, you gotta think, some of the actors, even though they're supposed to be where they are filming, are dressed in just plain clothes, and they're actually fucking freezing. The crew would be in 700 count down jackets and snow boots, and then everybody else is in street clothes that's for summer.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. I hope they got lots of warm breaks with heat lamps and shit.
Yeah, because around fall, it's pretty cold there around fall. Like, that's right when it starts snowing around.
Exactly,
there.
Exactly. It only took 21 days to film or something like that. So it's, over the course of that last month, right as it starts to snow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're pretending it's summer the whole time, but it's really fall, and they're we're dying.
I don't really even think they're pretending it's summer, because it's supposed to be exactly the time period that it is when they're filming. So it's supposed to be late-ish fall.
Okay.
But they're still just dressed kind of scantily, I guess, because half of them are sex workers, the extras and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like you can't really... Well, I guess you can. I mean, usually you think sex work, you need to advertise the goods, but in a really cold area, that would be so hard.
Right? I mean, shit. What's her name? Eileen Wuornos wasn't exactly the hottest looking package, but she still got work, so. Ugh. Yeah. So Hudgens actually met the real Cindy Paulson and talked to her about it to prepare for the role.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Cindy's pretty outspoken about it.
Yeah. In fact, a really wild fact about this is the director actually wanted to film in the basement that Cindy was actually held in.
Oh, that's fucked up.
And Cindy was fine with it. She wanted people to see where it happened and to, like, have to face the brutalness that she did, essentially.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah, but in the end, it wasn't the best place to film logistically, so they just ended up not doing that. But they recreated the basement almost exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate to what it looks like compared to, like, the photos.
Yeah, exactly. The director also, you would think that, like, you know, with, like, method acting and stuff, you'd think that she would have, like, gone to, like, a pole dancing class or something. But the director specifically told her that he wanted her to look young and inexperienced and to not have, like, any idea how to pole dance. So that was the direction there. Like, don't look like you know what you're doing. Be bad at it. Nick Cage and John Cusack were both in Con Air together, except in opposite roles. Cage was a con, and John Cusack was like a federal agent. So that's fun, right?
Yeah.
So we all know that Robert Hansen is a huge liar, but so, like, this movie was being made, like, a year before he died, actually? Or maybe, like, a year and a half. Yeah, it came out, yeah. It was, like, maybe a year and a half before he died when they were making this movie. So he sent a message via his lawyers to Scott Walker and was like, none of this is true. You can't do this. You can't make this movie. But, like, Bob, come on. They had evidence.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fucking Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Bob. You don't know what you're fucking talking about, Bob.
Back.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Heavy Metal Shuffle by the punk band Reagan Youth plays during the strip club scene. Now, vocalist Dave Rubenstein's girlfriend was a sex worker who was murdered in the 90s.
Who?
The lead vocalist of this band, Reagan Youth. His girlfriend was a sex worker who was murdered by the serial killer Joel Rifkin.
Oh, shit.
And Joel Rifkin is the serial killer who an entire Seinfeld episode sort of centers around. Because Elaine dates a guy who's named Joel Rifkin right after the serial killer gets caught. And then so she has to explain to everybody, not the killer.
Not the killer. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
I watched that recently.
The best part about that is that right after that episode. Okay. The best part about that is later on in the episode when she's talking to Joel and she's like, you gotta change your first name. One of the names that she brings up is OJ. And it's like a year before.
Yeah, before OJ's, that ever comes out.
Yeah, like, it's like a year before OJ murders Nicole Simpson, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So that's crazy, right? That's really interesting. Let's see. So Brie Larson auditioned for the role of Cindy Paulson, but according to producers, she overdid her audition scene to the point that she scared the casting director.
Sorry, that's hilarious.
Yeah, which I gotta say, I feel like I don't know if I could buy Brie Larson as a sex worker.
No.
Like, because I've seen her as fucking Captain Marvel now. Like, I can't picture her in Dirty Alaska doing sex work now.
No.
I think, no, and I mean this in the best way to Vanessa Hudgens, but she was more fit for the role.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
She did a really good job.
She did. She did a very decent job. I would also be screaming my head off to get this fucking cuffs off of me and sobbing uncontrollably.
Fuck yeah, you would.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so those are my fun facts. Well, one more fun fact. So D.A. Pat Clives, the actor who plays him in this movie, he's played by Kurt Fuller, who is the, like, medical examiner on Psych. Did you ever watch this?
I watched a few episodes, but he's just medical examiner every time he plays someone.
No. He's
all he does.
he's the district attorney in this movie.
Oh, I thought he was the medical examiner. My bad.
No, he was just like he's the coroner, medical examiner on Psych, and he's the DA in this. Yeah. He's a character actor. He's been in a whole bunch of shit. But yeah, so those are my facts, Momo.
Nice.
So we're going to take a short break and then we'll be right back.
Right back.
I don't know why I decided to say that like a sex hotline operator, but I did.
Just tune in.
For only 99 cents a minute. That's like if it's the 90s. It's probably like $3 a minute now. I don't know. Do people still do that?
There's I don't know. Porn. I think it's like free porn on the internet. But I mean, still, people fucking pay for porn and it's weird to me.
Yeah. I mean, good for the sex workers who are getting paid.
Yeah.
But I don't, I guess maybe some people just respect the trade. I don't know.
Yeah, and there's, like, people who like to imagine that the cam girls are their girlfriends, so they'll, like, give them money to buy clothes and stuff and get really obsessive.
Yes. All right, I'll see you in a minute. Welcome back. Are we ready to talk about Robert Hansen, Morgan?
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about the Butcher Baker. He's a fuck. He's a fuck boy.
Yeah, the real life Robert Hansen, who isn't half as attractive as John Cusack.
Yeah, no, not at all.
He had an acne scarred face from here to China.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I'm attractive, though.
Well, yes, you've also not murdered anyone and not, like...
That you know of. No, I'm just kidding.
Morgan wouldn't hurt a fly.
No, but, yeah, he was very unattractive, and he was like a child.
Yeah, he was stunted emotionally.
Very stunted, and, like I said earlier, a fuck boy.
Oh, yeah. Fuck boy.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For sure.
Fuck boy.
All right. Well, let's get into it.
All right. So Robert Christian Hansen, people in his life called him Bob, or he was the Butcher Baker. He was also a rapist, serial rapist. Serial killer. He also was an abductor and an arsonist. He has thought to kill, well, 17.
Oh, wait. What? Don't forget klepto.
Oh, yeah. And klepto. That's right. Yeah. Oh, and insurance fraud. He's like did a lot of bad stuff. And it's just so fucking stupid. We'll get into it. But they believe like he's been convicted of 17 murders, but they think it was more like 30 plus victims. Because he would say he wouldn't admit to some of them. And then when they found the bodies, he did admit to them. So they don't really know the number because the victims he chose lived transient lives or were separated from their family or friends. They were in the sex trade or stripping or dancing. So a lot of the victims that were found, nothing was like found out about them. There's not much about all of the victims online. at all, which is sad because they were all just kind of lost and lumped into this guy. I wish I had all their names, but I don't. I don't have all their names. But
well, yeah, two of them are still unidentified, right?
They identified one in 2021, actually.
That's right.
Yeah, but the Eklutna Annie is still unidentified. The one you don't like the name. She's still unidentified. But according to Alaska Bureau of Investigations, they are currently using genetic genealogy to still try to identify Eklutna Annie. That's the last victim. Unidentified victim of Hansen. They actually used the DNA analysis and confirmed that the previously unknown Horseshoe Harriet. See, I think that one's worse.
Well, that one's not good either.
Yeah, sure. They all had really bad names. Yeah. But Horseshoe Harriet was Robin Pelkey.
That's a much better name.
Yeah, they did identify her, and that was in September 2021. And the surviving kin came out and said that they do not want to be contacted, and they need to be left alone and told people, like press and everybody, to leave them alone, yeah, which is understandable.
Leave people alone, guys. Come on.
Yeah, just leave them alone. And she had been missing since 1981.
So like, 40 years, no big deal.
Yeah, because they don't really know, because no one ever reported her missing. And a lot of these people, no one ever reported them missing, or they were reported missing, but it never was filed.
Sure. Well, I mean, if you're a transient and you don't like keep a lot of connections, then people might not know that you're missing.
Yeah. It's sad because a lot of these victims were reported missing, but they weren't taken seriously.
Well, that too, because if you're a sex worker, cops automatically are like, oh, you don't matter.
Yeah, you don't matter. You're living that lifestyle. It came to you because you live that lifestyle. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, the victim blaming for sex workers is absolutely off the charts.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to be a moral, like, just fuck your morals. Investigate the damn crime. Who fucking cares?
Thank you.
Fuck your morals. Do your job, you know, the one you get paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
So back to fuckboy Bob. Fucking hate him.
Love it. Fuck boy Bob.
He was a tiny little man. Well, I don't want to say tiny. I don't want to insult anybody for their height, but he was like only 5'6".
Look, and if we love a short king. As long as you're not murdering or raping people.
Yeah, he had like, the short boy complex. Totally. He did. Sorry. He did.
It happens. It happens.
Because he was constantly bullied. He had severe acne that covered his face. He was a loner. He also had an overbearing father that was from another country, like Eastern Europe. So he was just like a kid that everybody picked on back in high school.
Sure.
So he didn't have many friends. He was also constantly rejected by women his age, and throughout high school and middle school, he was rejected. So he, after graduation, he went into the Army Reserves, and he enlisted in 1957, and he only served about 1 year. And then he later worked as an assistant drill instructor at a police academy in Iowa for just a little short bit. And then in 1960, he met a young woman and married her. I'm not going to name her because she's wanted to remain anonymous, but her name is listed on the Wikipedia page, but she wants to be anonymous, so I'm not going to name her here.
Good job.
Yeah, they should take it down off the Wikipedia page because she did want to remain anonymous after that. I think should delete
that. You and I both have the power to do that.
Can we?
Yeah, anyway. Literally anyone can edit Wikipedia.
I know, they keep asking me for money and I feel bad. I give them $20 a year. Do you donate?
Yeah.
Okay. I give them $20 a year. I'm like, leave me alone.
I gave them $5 this month.
Okay. See, I don't do monthly. I'm just a year. $20.
I do it when I can.
Yeah. Now Wikipedia is like, hey, you've been here 4 times in the last month. Why don't you donate?
Yeah. They said that to me earlier and I'm like, bitch, I already donated.
Yeah. I'm like, bitch, stop storing my cookies.
I'm cleaning out my cookies.
Yeah. Get out of my cookies, man. But anyway, he was a loser. People made fun of him. And then after he left the army, he came back to Iowa, was working for his dad. He got married. And then he just goes out and burns down the bus barn that his high school, like, stored the buses in, like, to get back at all the people that made him less popular or, like, picked on him. And it's like, dude, you just burned down the bus.
I'm sorry, but burning down the bus barn did nothing to those people. You know why? They don't go to school there anymore. And you know what? If they did and they rode the bus, they might be fucking celebrating because they might get a day off from school.
Yeah.
What did you accomplish? Nothing.
Yeah, what did you do? What did you do? Like, nothing. Like, no one cares about you still, and they will never care about, just get over it. He had, like, a little man syndrome, like I said.
He did.
Yeah, he was a total fuckboy. So after this, he got caught, and he was sentenced to a 3-year prison sentence. At this time, his wife was like, okay, you're a fucking fuckboy. And then she divorced him while he was in jail. But he only served 20 months out of the 3-year prison sentence. Yeah. After that, his family were, like, really embarrassed by him because he's such a fuckboy. And they actually moved. They sold the bakery where his dad worked and owned. Like, they just moved and were like, we're getting the fuck out. So he actually moved with them. And then he met his second wife whenever they moved. And then in 1967, he moved to Anchorage with his second wife. And that's where he relocated. And at this time, he was, like, well-liked in the community, which is really surprising because everywhere he went, nobody liked him. But in Anchorage, he was well-liked. He opened a bakery because he took after his father. It was like fifth generation baker or some shit. But at first, like, he didn't want to do the bakery thing. He would find solace in going in the woods and hunting. And his dad would, like, force him to work in the bakery when he was in high school, and he didn't like it. But then apple didn't fall far from the tree. Became a baker, Bob the Baker. And he was well-liked in the community.
Instead of Bob the Builder, Bob the Baker.
Bob the Baker. His neighbors liked him. He was a really good hunter, and people liked him. But, I mean, he also was still fucking around. Like, okay, so in 1977, he was imprisoned for stealing a chainsaw. And between that time, from his first divorce and until 1977, he had been arrested twice for sexual assaults.
Can I just say how much I loved how brazen he was when he stole the chainsaw? Like,
yeah,
he just walks in there and literally takes it off the shelf and just, like, starts to walk out like no big deal. What did he think? No one was gonna stop him?
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, it's the same thing, like, whenever he went into the woman's house and tried to kidnap her.
Yeah, it's like he has no, like, idea that the rest of the world is going on around him or something.
Yeah, because, so, in 1972 is when he was arrested and charged with abduction and attempted rape. Okay, so he had been stalking this woman, and she worked at a, I didn't write it down, but sorry. She was, like, a secretary at some, like, what are they called where they sell houses?
A realtor office?
Yes, thank you. She was a secretary there.
Okay.
He stalked her because he was looking for houses. He thought she was beautiful and was like, I need to have this woman. So he fucking followed her home, figured out where she lived, walked in there and tried to abduct her, but he didn't know that she had fucking roommates. And he wasn't wearing a mask.
Nope.
And all this stuff. So, of course, he was caught.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that he, like, had a good life and everything and didn't really mean it and let him go. Like, what the fuck? He tried to kidnap her out of her house and rape her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then he raped another sex worker. And she came forward and said she had been raped and then let go. And they didn't investigate that. either. And we're like, no, he's a good guy. Like, he has a normal life.
Oh, yeah, good guys. They just try to kidnap people all the time, you know?
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. Like, he only served 6 months, and then it was, like, dropped. And then in 1976 is when he went to prison. He was sentenced to 5 years, but they overturned it because they said he was bipolar. And so he never really spent any time in jail.
I'm sorry, being bipolar doesn't mean that you're not dangerous.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Like, if you tried to abduct and rape someone, you should still be held. Like, he was out on...
Yeah!
He was out on parole from the first attempted abduction and rape when he raped the other woman. And he said, oh, well, she was trying to steal my money. And they believed him over her because he's a fucking white dude.
Yeah.
That's all. White baker. Like,
this white male who's a, you know, quote unquote, upstanding citizen. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and it's maddening because if he would have served any time, he probably would have been in jail for the rest of his life, you know?
I'm sorry, but if any of the people that were investigating all these different things, if they had looked into him just a little bit further, he should have been locked away for life.
Yeah. And like starting in 1978, well, they say 1973 is when he started murdering, but his earliest murder that is known was either 78 or 79.
Yeah.
And that was the one he said it was his first murder. And that was Eklutna Annie. But he was raping women starting in 1972. Until right. He was caught.
I mean, as you know, as our audience knows, it's not uncommon for a rapist to escalate into killing, like Paul Bernardo.
Yeah, and it's just crazy because he was already escalated. He tried to fucking kidnap someone. He had already escalated. And
yeah.
And the ones he got caught for, like, they didn't even fucking prosecute him because they said it was too harsh. It's just like that fuckboy that raped the girl behind the dumpster and the prison sentence is too harsh.
My God, let's not even get into that can of worms, but agreed.
It's very similar.
It is. Like,
fucking hate that fuckboy. Yeah. Anywho, so around this time in Alaska, there was like a boom town happening at this point. In the 70s, it was, you know, like people would go to Alaska to disappear. A lot of people were escaping something, were going to Alaska. But in the 70s.
People still kind of do that in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. No, they still do it, but not on the level that was happening in the 70s.
Well, sure, because the internet exists now.
Yeah, and there was an oil boom then that's not happening now. So in the 70s, between 1975 and 1977, after the oil crisis of 1973, that's when they put in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System. Mm-hmm. So there were a whole bunch of pipeline workers, as well as miners, and everything that had been brought in from the lower states. So the lower 48, everybody was coming to Alaska because of this oil boom. And it started kind of like in a boom town, like kind of reminiscent of the 1800s and like, you know, the West. And there were like tens of thousands of people, not like a few hundred. It was tens of thousands of people were coming to Alaska to work. And I mean, this kind of created this boomtown atmosphere, which these men were, you know, needing sex as men do. sorry, I don't want to offend anybody, but usually when there's a boomtown that happens, sex workers are brought in. It's just how it is.
Look, we all need pleasure. Okay.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. So this brought in a lot of dance clubs, a more risque night atmosphere, like club atmosphere in Anchorage that hadn't been there before.
Sure.
And this
the seedy element, if you will.
Yeah. It's like the underground kind of came into the
Great White North.
Thank you. I just blanked out. I'm like, Alaska? So along with all these people, there was a boom in the economy. There was a boom in men's pants. So they were bringing in these women, too, that, you know, they were transient. They were.
I am dying from you saying there's a boom in men's pants.
It went boom, pow.
Okay, continue.
So there was a lot of like transients brought in from the lower states as well, because a lot of the dancers in Washington State or, you know, California were being offered, hey, if you go to Alaska and do start dancing at this club, we'll pay you more money. A lot of it was a lie. A lot of them were mistreated or abused, and some women were looking for a way out. So when a lot of women, I mean, it doesn't subtract from the police not doing their job, but when a lot of the sex workers started turning up missing, they were like, oh, they probably just went back down to the lower 48.
Yeah.
If they said that, then they should have checked fucking flight records. I'm sorry.
They should have.
But they didn't, because they didn't care about them. But I think it would have easily been stopped if they would have actually checked into these people and looked at flight records. And then you'd see that all these women never got on a flight and never left. They were.
Yeah, exactly.
So like the movie, he did exactly do, he would abduct these sex workers, usually pulling a gun on them after having sex or getting a blowjob or whatever. He'd usually pull a gun or a knife and then take them back to his house where he'd wait and then fly them by plane, by his little prop plane, to other parts of Alaska that were not inhabited by people. And then he would hunt them down like an animal. And what's really weird is that a lot of the victims were found wearing their clothes, but they had no bullet holes in their clothes. So
he dressed them back up afterwards.
Yeah. He would make them run naked in the Alaskan wilderness while hunting them.
That's fun. I mean, it's not.
So fucked up.
Being sarcastic. But yeah, that's really fucked up.
Yeah. And like,
why don't you get some frostbite before I kill you?
Yeah. Because, I mean, his first victim, he didn't really hunt her. Aklutna Annie. Yeah. So Aklutna Annie was, they think she was between 16 and 25 at the time of her death. And she was discovered like several months later. And then there wasn't much to be found. It was found in July. Her body was found July 21st of 1980. And this was the first of many bodies that they would start to uncover.
Yeah.
So the story that he told was that he had taken her after she had given him a blowjob and then said, we're gonna go out here and you do exactly what I say and you won't get hurt. So he was driving her outside of Anchorage, and she realized like, well, fuck, you're not driving near your house, you're driving outside. So she kept trying to escape. He was saying, do not, like, I'll kill you. And she did have a knife in her bag, but she never used it. And he actually, according to some reports, he used her knife to kill her.
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah, he had driven into like a swamp area around Aklutna Lake and got the truck stuck. And he said, you need to help me and get it out of the mud. And then she took off running. And then he chased after her, tripped her. And as she was screaming, don't kill me, don't kill me, he stabbed her in the back once and killed her.
Fuck.
With a buck knife. And
yeah.
It says it's his knife, but other reports said it was her knife. I don't really know. I can't really confirm this. But that was supposedly his first murder victim. And like I said earlier, she's still unidentified today. But there were like several instances of people coming across bodies in 1980 and 1981. And the Anchorage Police Department kept saying, oh, no, we don't have a serial killer. No. It's just, you know.
Bella. No way. Can't be us.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, they are connected. And there was a female, I cannot find her name anywhere, but there was a female police officer who was like, no, these are all connected, because I remember that, because she worked in the sex crimes. She was like, I remember this girl going missing and now here's her body. Like, this is a murder. Like, we have a murder on our hands. And no one believed her. People made fun of her. And she started investigating by herself and started tying these murders together. But the police department told her to stop because they were like, this is not your job. And these are not connected. We don't have a serial killer here in Anchorage. No way. And then whenever they started finding these bodies, it was nearby the Kinnick River. There were two police officers that were, I think they were hunting together or fishing or something. And they came across the body of Sherry Morrow. And that's when they were like, wait, there's probably more bodies out here. Because they found a 223 shell casing by her body. And around that same areas where construction workers had found a Klutna Annie 2 years earlier. So that's when they were like, wait, they're like right next to each other. And so then they found another dancer named Joanne Messina. And that's when they put the female police officer in charge of the investigation. And she said, fuck off. I'm not going to do it. Like, yeah. Y'all wouldn't listen to me the first time. So, and then around 1983, June 13th, 1983, Cindy Paulson, which is the character in the movie, she had ran away from Fuckboy and right. was spotted by a truck driver, and she asked for help, and he got her into the truck, and she was gonna go to the police, but she was so terrified that he was gonna kill her that she asked him to bring her to a hotel room. So she ended up going to a hotel room and was trying to get the cuffs off of her when they called the police. And so the police came and said that she had the one cuff on her. So they ended up getting them off of her, brought her in for questioning. And she said that she had been offered $200 to get into his car to give him oral sex. And once she had finished, she said she could feel him with his hands around her neck, like while she was doing it. It was kind of weirded out by it, but then like finished. And then that's when he pulled the gun on her. And she was 18 at this time. But she was like lying about her age. She was just scared that she was going to go to jail for being a sex worker.
Yeah.
But like from her quote, it said, after I kept doing it and I kept feeling around my neck, like he was tripping, playing around with my neck and my necklaces. And he had cuffed one of my hands and I was trying to get loose and he pulled out a gun. Then he had got my other hand cuffed. I don't know how he did it. It was just frightening because I fought, but not a lot, because I knew he would do something. And that's when he took her to his house in Muldoon off of Old Harbor Road, which the house is still there and it's being lived in.
Oh, I know.
I know. It's so scary. I stayed right down the road from there.
Well, people still live in the DeFeo house in Amityville.
Yeah. But it's just so scary.
I know.
So that's when he like took her downstairs in the basement, which was like cut off from the house, and his wife and two kids never went down there. And he had her handcuffed and he would like repeatedly rape her. And she had a tampon in and he still raped her and like jammed the tampon up there. Like he didn't even fucking care. And she like described the house. She knew the road's name because she saw the road's name. She could describe everything from the rope to the coffee table to a bearskin rug to what he looked like, how long she was there. And that's when I don't know how many days she was with him. I think she was like in there one day. She took a nap and then he came back and said he was gonna take her to his cabin and then bring her back. And she said that they were gonna go to the airfield. He made her lay down in the back seat with a cover over her and drove her to the airport. And then he got her into the passenger seat and he put something in the trunk and when he put the gun on top of the car. And whenever he put the gun on top of the car is when she realized that the driver door was open, and she opened the door and like took off running. So she had these handcuffs on and no shoes and was running like hysterical through the woods trying to get away from him.
As you would.
Yeah, and he was chasing her. He grabbed the gun and was chasing her and trying to kill her. And that's when she came up on the truck driver, and then he ran away. And so when the police went to investigate it, like, they thought she was lying, because when they found out who he was, they're like, oh, well, this is bullshit, because he said that y'all had consensual sex and you tried to overcharge, and then he has an alibi. So whenever she told the police this, no one really believed her. So the police like went to his house, asked him some questions and everything. He denied it, and like, they believed him over her because she was an 18-year-old sex worker, and they thought she was trying to like ruin his life or something. I don't know. I don't see how they thought he was an upstanding citizen when he had all these charges pending against him.
Uh-huh.
And like, they never investigated it. They just believed his story over hers because he owned a bakery and was married and had two children. Like, who the fuck cares? Like, yeah. BTK?
Exactly. BTK had a life just like that too. You know, children, a deacon at a church, a good job, a wife.
Yeah. And there's like so many things that it was pointed to him, and they just didn't look into it until like later when they started uncovering more bodies that they started to, you know, take her seriously. But they said that she had lied about all, and because Hansen had a couple friends and he was saying, hey, give me an alibi, because I think he had convinced them because his wife was out of town in Europe. And I think he was like, hey, I had sex with a sex worker and now she's trying to turn me in. Like, could you give me an alibi? But in reality, they were covering up the fact that he almost like killed her. Like,
yeah, right. Yeah.
So he did have a fake alibi from some friends. But like after they linked him to the rest of the murders, that's when he started admitting to and confessing to the murders and rapes and abduction. And yeah,
and the friends were like, don't know, I've never seen him before.
Yeah, they immediately turned and said, yeah, we were lying. We had no idea. Like, we didn't know. And which is crazy that they should have been prosecuted too, but they weren't. But
they were upstanding citizens, Morgan.
Yeah, it's so fucking stupid. I fucking hate that. Upstanding citizen. What the fuck does that even mean?
I know.
You can't be an upstanding citizen if you don't follow the law, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not true. So he used a 223 Ruger Mini 14 and knives during the murders. And at first, when they came to raid his house, he was in for questioning. Meanwhile, they were executing the warrants on his house and the cars.
Yeah,
and he had no idea.
That's exactly how the movie played it out, too.
And it is really how it happened.
Yeah.
And his wife had no idea about any of the murders or anything. And she didn't know about any of the guns or where he kept them. And he had already hid all of his guns and all of his like jewelry, like his trophies and everything.
Yeah.
Because they searched the house and didn't find anything. And they were like, they have to be hidden. So they went in for a deeper search. And when they were looking behind the insulation in the attic is where they found the gun that matched the bullets at all the crime scenes. They found the gun. They found the knives. They found victims' IDs, jewelry from his victims. They found like everything. They even found a map that had marks on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the police officers was like, I wonder if this is where the burial sites are. So they lined up their map where they had found the four bodies, and they were almost exact on the map of his. So that's when he took a plea bargain and said he would show the police where his burial sites were.
And he like remembered to a scary degree.
Yeah.
Like, he knew where they were.
He even knew what they were wearing. Like, like he could describe what they were wearing, where he picked them up from. This is zone 17 of his burial sites.
Yeah.
They said he even got like excited whenever they were flying over, because they were in a helicopter flying overhead where he had killed them. So they would land, hike out to the area, and they said he would get on his hands and knees and start digging into the dirt himself, like really excited to find them.
Yeah. Because, you know, now he can finally safely revisit the crime scenes because he's already caught. So, yeah, I mean, he's not a normal human. So for him to act like a child who's going back to their favorite amusement park is not out of the ordinary for a serial killer.
Yeah, it's just really weird that... So he would sexually assault them first and then let them go naked in the woods. He would hunt them down, mm-hmm. but almost all of them were shot close range or stabbed. So at some point, they probably gave up, I'm assuming. He doesn't really describe it.
Yeah. I mean, he could have also maybe have done, because, you know, he was a bow hunter. He may have also done things like maimed them and then tracked them from the wound, perhaps.
Yeah.
We don't have like solid proof of that, but I know that that's how he liked to hunt when he wasn't hunting humans. So take with that what you will.
Yeah, because some of them were shot with a .22. Clutina Annie was stabbed in the back. So there was one who was shot 3 different times in the back. That was Sherry Morrow. And that's when they were like, that's the body they found, that they were like, this is not the first time, like,
yeah,
that this has happened. Another one was shot 3 times, and another one was shot in the chest. Yeah, so they were mainly like shot, redressed, and then buried in a shallow grave, like barely covered up. And a lot of their bodies had been, you know, scavenged by animals, unfortunately. So some of them were really hard to identify. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't really take the time to bury them, or just didn't care, but he did reclothe them and then try to attempt to hide the body, but poorly.
He's so sloppy.
Mm-hmm. He really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, he had raped several other people before that, moved to murder.
Yeah.
It's just really sad because, I mean, he had known to be an arsonist. He had been stealing and robbing. He set up it's just crazy. How was he not in jail? Like, that, all those women were done in injustice by him being portrayed as this perfect white male. And it happens time and time and time fucking again. It's just ridiculous. Makes me so mad. Like, all of this could have been stopped when the rape and the attempted rape and kidnapping. Yeah.
If somebody had just taken him in and held him for some length of time and actually, like, followed up on it, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, like, the longest he served was after the bus, and that was only, like, 10 months or something.
Yeah.
Rape, he only served, like, a few weeks. He was out on parole for one, or probation on one, and then the next one, he was only in for a few weeks, I think.
I know, that shit makes me so mad.
Yeah. And I mean, they think he's raped more than 30 people, and they think he probably killed more, but they just couldn't find them. Because some of the marks on the map, they never found anybody, and he, like, never admitted to the ones they didn't find.
Yeah.
Because he didn't even admit to 4 of them. He wouldn't talk about it, but I mean, they linked him to the other 4, but he denied them. So we don't really know how many there were, because, I mean, he could have gone anywhere in Alaska. He had a plane. He had hunting rifles. He knew how to hunt. Like, he knew how to survive. So who knows? He probably went further than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of these were around outside of Anchorage, around the lakes around Anchorage. But, I mean, he could have gone further with that prop plane.
Yeah. Well, since Bob died in 2014, we may never know exactly how many people he killed.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that think it's more than 30. He's only been connected to 17.
Yeah. Usually the case. They usually admit to way more than are found, or at least somewhat more than are found serial killers, you know?
Like, they'll admit to more?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, there's people like Henry Lee Lucas who had admitted to way more.
Yeah.
than possible. But yeah, a lot of people will take, they'll either, you know, take credit for things they didn't actually do, just, you know, throw cops off and piss cops off, or, you know, sometimes they actually did kill that many, but they won't tell them, you know, say where all the bodies are.
Yeah. And I mean, he was only convicted of 4, but he did confess to killing 17. So he only went to trial once. So he wouldn't have to go to trial 17 different times.
You know, that would just be a lot of court.
Yeah, and that would be a lot more money than they should spend on him in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. With the way courts are, you'd be in court for like 17 years.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just yeah. It's just so fucked up. Like, when will the I don't know. When will police do a better job?
I don't know, but boy, is that a conversation for another time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I could go on and on about that, but, like, there's so much red tape and bullshit and politics and everything involved, but I think the whole upstanding white male citizen trope has to go.
Absolutely. Anyone can be a criminal.
Yeah. Even your best friend or your dad or your mom or that person that you saw at the library or your teacher. Anybody can be a murderer
or a criminal. You know, just like be wary. Yeah. Don't be like hyper paranoid, but you know, be mindful. Be mindful.
Be mindful of the deacon of your church.
Yeah,
as BTK. Yeah. No, but they were also like, the reason why they didn't get Robert Hansen right away too is because he was a really big member of the Lutheran church there.
Gross.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Who cares?
Yeah. Okay. And.
That doesn't make him an upstanding citizen.
Yeah, you know, I bet he makes a mean bear claw, but that doesn't make him an upstanding citizen.
Yeah, no. And I mean, he had all these fucking convictions and like rapes and everything tied to him. When the fuck do you call a convicted rapist or a arsonist a upstanding citizen?
Usually you don't.
Yeah,
but,
you don't.
But they did for a while.
Yeah.
Until it was undeniable that he was a killer, and then everyone washed their hands clean. Never liked Bob. Never liked him.
Yeah. I just think it's funny, though. I want to go back to it, but some of the names of the clubs where these women were from. One's called the Booby Trap.
That's a good one. Booby Trap.
And then another one is called Great Alaskan Bush Company.
Okay, that checks out. That checks out.
And another one is Wild Cherry.
That checks out. That checks out.
Mm-hmm. I just like the names.
Those are fun strip club names.
Yeah.
The Booby Trap. That's the my favorite trap. One.
I think the Booby Trap is my favorite.
The Booby Trap's good. I like it. That's a good one. All right, guys. I think that's it, right? We're good? We're done?
Yeah. I mean, we could have had like multiple episodes of this.
We could have, but the way
it's extensive.
Oh yeah. But the way we like to handle it is we like to do two different movies if we're gonna do that. Usually. Yeah. Usually. Unless it just runs way too long and then we have to cut it into two.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we've only had two parters. And one was planned that way and the other one very much wasn't.
Oh yeah, I forgot. We like just talked a lot.
We just went on and on about black metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good time. They're good episodes. All right. Well, we guys will catch you next time. For something. We're not gonna tell you yet, but you'll see next time.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.